Hello, everybody, and welcome to Listen Money Matters. Good work ain't cheap, and cheap work ain't good. My name is Thomas, and I'm here, as always, with Andrew. Andrew, how are you, and what are you drinking today?
Dude, I'm fantastic. And today, I'm drinking something that you cannot buy on the shelves.
Really?
My buddy in Cali, buddy from back in college, we lived together for 3 years. He's working on starting his own brewery, and he sent me some of his beers, and they have a fancy label and everything, and it's super cool. So his brewery's called, or going to be called, or I don't know the status yet, but it's Crown Heights Brewery. The beer is Imperial Breakfast Stout, and it's 9% APV. Damn tasty.
Very nice. I was expecting you to be like, oh, my buddy, you know, his grandpa has a whiskey still out in the backwoods of Tennessee, so we took a hike out there. Got some moonshine. Well, nope. I got, finally, the Buffalo Sweat. And it isn't frozen this time. So hopefully my brother doesn't care that I'm stealing his beer, but he's left it in my fridge for about 3 weeks now. So, sorry, Brian.
How is it? Is it
It's pretty good, actually. Yeah, it's pretty good. I was kind of hoping it wouldn't be too oatmeal-y, and it's actually a really nice mix between oatmeal and beer.
Dude,
I got some oats in there, some squats in there.
Yeah. It's a flu. Oh, okay, so that reminds me. So a few people have sent beer and stuff, and it's been super cool. And this girl Jessica was like, can I have your address? I want to send you a little gift. I'm like, sure. You know, so I give her my address, and there's this huge box one day when I get home, ginormous box. And I'm like, all right, I'm super excited. And and it's really, really heavy too. It's there must be a dead body in here or something. So carry it out.
I'm really excited.
No, I'm really excited because it's a dead body and I love dead bodies. No, so I carry it up two flights of steps and I open it up. And it's a bunch of swag from, I guess, where she works, Bob's Red Mill.
Okay.
And so it has all these things, and in there is a 25-pound bag of steel-cut oats. Just this huge,
wow,
it's
nice.
Bigger than the biggest dog food bag you could ever find, and it's just, so Laura and I are what can we do with the steel-cut oats? We're we'll make homemade granola bars or something, a million of them.
You can make some good stuff with steel-cut oats.
Oh,
you can also squat them.
True that, dude. I don't know what that means, though.
I don't know either. Anyway, today's catchphrase was, good work ain't cheap and cheap work ain't good. And that is from our friend Daniel Merle at the Duke Daniel on Twitter. Also, thanks for helping out with our Google Plus stuff, Daniel, because I don't think either Andrew or I know what we're doing with it.
We were leaning on him for guidance because he's the Google Plus man. He's actually running our Google Plus page.
Yeah. So as we record this, we did the tax webinar last night, and I think it went pretty well, once we figured out all the tech stuff.
Yeah, it went good. I mean, Johnny's internet must be $3 to $5 a month. It cut out a few times, but it was awesome. There's a ton of questions, and I think we should do it again. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, we definitely should. And if we do it on things that aren't taxes, then I'll have more to say.
Exactly, yeah. Maybe we'll do a five questions or a 105 questions or something.
That could be cool. Yeah, a lot of the questions, it was okay, how do I take advantage of the Safe Harbor Act or something? I've never even heard.
Exactly. It's and moving
glad
on.
We have Johnny here.
Yeah, that question had every keyword in it. I couldn't parse it in my brain.
But yeah, so what are we talking about today?
So today we are talking about how to use a credit card.
Oh, cut it up, burn it, don't ever, never use it. Don't, just don't.
That's the thing. No, no. So I feel I love talking about the investing stuff. And, I want to make sure we cover the whole broad swath of finance. And we were, with the whole redesign, we're organizing the site. And we noticed that there's not much debt stuff in there. And I know a lot of people personally who are deathly afraid of credit cards or just use them so incorrectly. It makes my skin boil. So I think we need to give some legit time to set the record straight.
Okay, cool. Yeah. I feel like I'm okay at using credit cards.
So why? Like, how do you use it?
Well, my credit score is pretty good.
You were checking before, like, we came on. You said it was like, what, 760?
Are you like supposed to tell your credit score to people?
No, they could steal your identity if they know.
If they know the number. A Capital One. I'm the guy that has the, 766 credit score.
Yeah, that's me.
Oh, it's you. Okay. Yeah, we don't need your name. We don't need anything. Like, yeah, we'll get you a new card. Yeah, no, so my score is a 766. And I have no idea if that is good for my age or not. But
dude,
I think
that's awesome.
It's a pretty good score. So, yeah. I've had a credit card since 2009, I want to say.
Oh my God, you're so young.
When I was 18.
I think I had a credit card since like 2003 or something. It was like my first year in college, and they're like, I'll give you a free Frisbee if you sign this form. And I'm like, hell yeah, I'll sign that form.
So maybe you know something about this. Mm. Have the laws changed on like how the companies can do that in the past, like, 6 or 7 years? Because I don't remember getting any credit card offers as a student.
You know, I think it was like towards the end of when I was in college. There was a lot of like new stuff where like kids were literally committing suicide. They were still in college and they had racked up like $20,000 in debt, which is like mind blowing because they had like no income. And I think like a dog could get a credit card. So they must have toned it down. It was really ridiculous. You know, the student loan thing is ridiculous onto itself, but for the interest rates to be like 20%, like that's like loan sharking.
Okay, I'm looking it up here. There was this thing called the Credit Card Act of 2009 that makes it really difficult for anyone under the age of 21 to qualify for a credit card. And it said in February 2010, no one under the age of 21 will be approved for a credit card unless a parent or guardian is willing to co-sign or the person shows proof of sufficient income to cover the obligation. So that would explain why I was not getting Frisbees with credit card offers when I started college, because I was late 2009. It was confusing because in high school, I think I took a personal finance class, which was awful because everyone else in the class was taking it for easy A. But I remember the teacher saying like, yeah, you're going to go to college and they're going to back a dump truck up to your dorm and you're going to open the door and they're going to dump 500 credit cards into your dorm and you're going to swim in them and they're going to give you free water bottles and hookers and all kinds of stuff. And none of that ever happened.
I'm saying that I'm really disappointed that the free hookers was not available when I was going to school.
I didn't get it. Yeah, I know. But it was weird. But I think before this act got passed, I want to say maybe I applied for a credit card with Capital One as an 18-year-old. Mm-hmm. And for whatever reason, they approved it. But it was only like $500 limit. Yes. Yes, I did. I had part-time jobs and stuff. So okay,
maybe it was that, because before, like, I got a credit card, I had no income. Like, I just was a deadbeat.
Yeah. Well, that's what you want to be.
Exactly. How do you use a credit card? Be a deadbeat.
Let's clear the air here. The ideal usage of a credit card, and I'm going to take a firm stand here, is that you be a deadbeat. And what a deadbeat means is that you do not make the credit card company any money whatsoever.
Mm.
Meaning that you get your credit card, you use it within reason, and then you pay off the entire balance every single month on time. Because the companies, they only make money, maybe correct me if I'm wrong, but they only make money off the interest, right?
So almost all of the cards, yes. There's some like the fancy Amexes, they'll have like a yearly fee.
Oh, that's right.
And
yeah.
I don't use them because it's like, it's literally against my religion to pay to use a credit card, And they're like, we'll give you concierge service. It's like, well, no, I mean, I have Google. Like, that's pretty good. It's free.
Yeah. So I guess we have like a spectrum of people who will give you advice on credit cards, ranging from your jobless uncle who went to the school of hard knocks and tells you to never even touch a credit card, burn any credit card you have and never use credit. You have that person on that end. And then on the other end of the spectrum, you have people like our good friend Travis, who like hacks credit cards to get thousands of flyer miles and flies to Fiji for free.
Which still baffles me, because I feel like it's like an epic amount of work to figure that out.
And it is. Yeah. like if you go to Flyer Talk, the forums for freaking Flyers, like the staggering amount of information there makes playing like Crusader Kings seem easy. Like you could freaking become a chess master before you would know all that stuff. I think the frequent flyer thing is like there's going to be a certain percentage of people who know how to game the system, who know the exact things to do to actually benefit from it. But for most people, objectively, you probably would end up spending more money in the long run just by getting like just through the psychological tweaks these programs usually like have on most people. The actual like extra spending you do, the likelihood that it is you'll carry a balance, you probably end up spending more than you would on a plane ticket.
You know? And I agree. And while I'm definitely not a churning pro, when I was looking at credit card rewards, when I was choosing my thing, oftentimes the actual miles themselves are worth less than the dollar equivalents. So I'm pretty sure when like Travis is doing his thing, he's also coupling it with like specific timing so that the tickets or whatever and like specific deals so that he's actually like it's actually worth it for him. Because for people who just like willy-nilly like use their cards and they don't want to think about it, like cash back from what I've calculated is king.
Yeah, and for miles, like if you just get a card that has miles and you buy miles on it, that's not how you rack up crap tons of miles. Like there's one thing I saw on Travis's site once, it was called an Apporama, where you know, so like if you get a hard pull on your credit history by a company when you sign up for a card, then it can ding your credit score, right? So an Apporama is something where you like sign up for a bunch of credit cards all at the same time, so they all hard pull you at the same time and like none of them has a chance to ding before the other one sees. And then I think like these people, they can get lots of sign up bonuses for all these different cards. Or it's like, oh, I have to buy a new computer. I might as well grab a new card, get the sign up bonus, then get like the, oh, I spent $3,000 within the first 5 months bonus. And now you're sitting on 50,000 miles through a promotion. But the actual like, I'm going to get miles from going to the grocery store and rack it up, stuff like that. They obviously make money on it. So on the aggregate, people end up spending more than they actually end up making. Otherwise, the program wouldn't exist.
So I want to get in deeper how to use it, but I just want to say, like, I was reading this thing, and so, you know, like, that whole 50,000 miles thing, there's such a thing as miles inflation, where, like, these airline companies, they're not giving you more. Like, they are certainly not giving you more. If anything, they're giving you less, and so what they do is like 50,000 miles and then everyone's desensitized to 50,000 miles. Like, we'll give you 100,000 miles. And you know what they do? They just raise the amount of miles it requires to get X, you know?
Yeah.
So the number is arbitrary.
Well, that's the thing.
And
like,
and the miles that you got from those 50,000, maybe they can get you a flight. But if you sit on it for a few months, it may not work anymore.
The number of times you abstract like the unit you're giving from the actual value, like you can sort of pad every level. So if the value
it's
is
funny
flight,
money.
You know, there's like money in between the flight and then there's miles in between the money. There's like padding that can be added anywhere to the actual value of the flight, you know?
Yeah, it's bullshit and it can't really convert it to, but I don't know, whatever. I'm not a miles fan. And
I remember the apartments here in town will like do this thing where if you sign a lease, they'll give you like fun bucks to go spend around town. And I'm like, why would I not just get a cheaper apartment?
Exactly. Like,
my own money.
You know, your fun bucks are cute, but I would prefer real bucks. Can I convert my fun bucks to...
Yeah, it sounds like those factory towns back in the 1800s where like they'd pay you in like JP Morgan bucks. Go down to the JP Morgan general store and get yourself some JP Morgan cereal.
Yeah, you can have all the JP Morgan pencils you want, monogrammed pads, whatever.
Only 15 Morgan bucks. I don't know I don't think JP Morgan had a, I don't even know what they call those things, but they definitely existed. Just like a, because he wasn't really a production guy.
He was just like a mogul. He was like just a rich man who owned.
But it was called like the company store, right? Yeah, and you go to the company store and you live in the company town and you basically be a slave.
All right, so
history is sad sometimes. But yeah, let's talk about how to use a credit card.
Laura, when I met her, she used credit card. I mean, and she didn't ring up that much debt. I think it was like $1,000 to $2,000 when I met her. But based on her salary, which was like almost nothing, and she never paid. I mean, they were like chasing her. They're calling her parents. Like it was bad. Because she just didn't pay, and so she got scared off of credit cards completely. And because she went to collections and blah blah blah, she had a terrible like credit rating.
Okay.
So we're like, we have to fix this. And the thing is, like, you need to use credit cards. Like, when she buys stuff, I would rather get, you know, cash back for it. And, you know, we get protection, which we can get into. But for people who've had, like, bad experiences, like, you should take, like, your Netflix bill and just put it on your credit card. And that's it. Like, don't put anything else on it. And just, you know, you could build credit that way. Whereas as long as you're just making a payment every month.
Yeah, definitely. Because I don't know about her, like her proclivity towards using credit cards now, but Anna is like basically against them, and she doesn't have one yet. Mm. And I'm like,
why is she against
a credit card? Because I think she's had like people she's known in the past who misuse them, right? Yeah, and I think like when you have somebody close to home that has had trouble with a certain thing, then you might tend to blame the thing,
right?
And, you know, credit cards are a tool, but they're just like a weapon. You know, you can point the gun the wrong way and shoot yourself in the foot or something like that.
You it gets can use out of control wrong. Quickly.
Yeah, you can use it wrong or you can use it right. And the problem is that the marketing arm of these companies, they want you to use it wrong. Mm. You know, they make more money if you do. So it's easy to fall into that trap. But if you know how to use it correctly, then it can only benefit you. And what I've told her is like, if you don't feel comfortable with using a credit card on a daily basis, if you feel like it's going to, you know, change your spending habits, make you irresponsible with money, lock it in a drawer, do what you said, like just have it pay off Netflix, have it pay your rent or something. Mm. And the cool thing is if you set your credit card to only pay fixed expenses that you've already budgeted for, then you can set the credit card to auto pay itself.
And you'll know what it's going to be every month. You could set your clock to it.
Yeah, you know the exact. Yep, and there's no interest on it. There's no nothing. You're paying off the balance every single month. So essentially, you're just routing your money through one extra step that will benefit you by increasing your credit score and possibly giving you perks.
So actually, I want to touch upon that piece where you just said where it's like, you know, you don't pay interest and, you know, you pay it off in full. And so when I first started using credit cards, I got really confused with the numbers they displayed to me. And I actually had to go to my dad and he had to, like, explain it to me because there's your balance and then there's what you owe. So, and then like I was so concerned because I had gotten the credit card and I, you know, for ease of conversation, say the statement starts on January 1st, right? So it's January 30th or, you know, it's January 20th, whatever. And I look and my balance is maybe like $500 and it says what I owe is $0. And I mean, I know that my balance is $500, so I feel like they're fucking with me because they're just going to tell me I don't owe or whatever, something, and they're going to screw me.
Right? It's actually just because they like you a lot. You know, you owe us $500, but you're just so cute. We're going to make it zero.
So dude, so do you know how, like, the whole, like, timing of cards work, right?
Yeah, and it can get kind of confusing because I don't know about yours, but with mine, I log in, and it's, like, minimum payment, statement balance, or balance. I can pay off all three of them, like either one. So I have to choose. I think it's like the whatever it was at the time, like the statement date cutoff, like that's what you're supposed to pay. But then like you have the option of paying off your whole balance as well. So I've always been like, well, shit, do I pay off the statement balance? Do I pay off the whole thing? Like, is the rest of it going to carry over? Or is it going to like be smart enough to know that I spent that money after the, you know, the rollover date? So personally, I've always just paid off the whole thing, you know, got myself to zero whatever day I decided to pay it.
But here's the thing, maybe that's what was definitely confusing to me, is that, like, so if you were January 1st, say your bill date is January 1st, right? So you go January 1st to February 1st and you spent $500, you don't pay. I mean, like, you don't have to pay the credit card company and they won't charge you interest for February 1st. Like, it's a month delayed. You know what I mean? Like, so you spend $500 in January, you know, February 1st is your next statement, and you owe your January 1st balance, like,
on
March.
February 1st?
No, you don't owe it on February, do you?
Oh, wait. See, that's see, but that's a good question. It makes it kind of confusing, and I think it might depend on the card you have. You know what I'm going to do?
Yeah, I'm going to go check my balance.
Log in to Capital One.
One moment, please.
We just cut out like 3 minutes of us being on the mic because, yeah, because I go to Thomas and I'm like, it's 30 days delayed. Like, so your statement balance ends, but you don't owe your payment for 30 days. And we were both kind of unsure about it. And so we're like searching and it's actually like super confusing. But what happens is, so I'll give you an example of my Fidelity Amex. So this is for my statement from December 3rd to January 2nd. I spent $347 on this card, right?
Okay.
The payment due date is February 1st. So the statement ended January 2nd, and it's basically 30 days between when the statement ends and when I actually have to pay. So the confusing part is, like, they're going to display all of these numbers, you know, like what your current balance is, what your current payment is, what your minimum payment is. And I think the way they do this is one, to confuse you, and maybe they delay the payment so you're going to forget or kind of get out of control. It's going to feel like the stuff was free. But, like, under the guise of, like, how to use a credit card, the cool thing is you get a month's expenses floated like for free for a month. So you can kind of buy things ahead of, like, it's basically like a 1 month no interest loan, provided you pay it off like in full on time.
Within that time?
Yeah.
Okay. Huh. Interesting. Yeah, it is really confusing. So basically you're saying if I buy a cheeseburger for $5 in December and the statement ends January 2nd, then as long as I pay that $5 back before February 2nd, there's not going to be no interest on it.
Correct. Right. So you could pay it immediately when your balance ends, and then but what's going to happen is your state, like what gets displayed when you log into your credit card thing is just going to always be like zero, or it's going to be weird. Like, cause they make the numbers like super confusing.
Okay.
But you have 30 days until they require the payment. And in most cases, you actually have 60 days before they'll say your payment is late. So you shouldn't go in that second 30 days. Like, you should pay it when it's due, you know, after the first 30 days.
Okay. So what my thing says. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Because it says, I'm looking at a statement right now, December 28th through January 27th, 2015. My new balance was 862. And then it says down here in the fine print, how can I avoid paying interest charges? If you pay your statements in new balance in full by the due date, which it says is February 24th, then we will not charge any interest on any new transactions that post to the purchased balance. So if I had a previous balance that wasn't paid before that, then interest started accruing on that during the period. But as long as it was like I bought something between the 28th of December and the 27th of January, as long as I pay for that before the 24th of February, there's no interest paid on it. So yeah, I have basically almost a month rolling forward. Cool.
And I think one of the ways that they get you is, first of all, most people are doing little to no money planning. They're doing like, I would say little to no budgeting, but I'm going to probably say none to negative money planning or budgeting and stuff like that. So your expenses in January, you know, like January 1st through January 31st, you're going to pay on the 1st of March. That requires you to have the cash available a month after your expenses, you know, and most people are running like day to day, got the money now, whatever. So then when the actual bill comes, you're like, shit, I don't have it because I bought that and I thought about it in January, but it's March and I've moved on.
Yeah.
So
you have to basically, and I think the thing my mom told me was good, you know, and this is a lesson that I would give to anybody. if you don't have the money for it in your checking account right now, don't buy it with your credit card. Like, just think of your credit card as a bike, or yeah, as like a long route, basically. Like, you have your highway bypass to buying something really quick way, or you have the scenic route. But either way, you need a car, you need enough gas in your tank to get there, and you can take the long route if you want, you know? And I guess in this example, the long route would take the exact same amount of gas. But
well, I mean, because it's weird, and you may also earn different amounts in different months.
Yeah.
The way I do it, so I obviously I'm like a huge fan of Mint, whatever, blah, blah, blah. I make sure, as long as the amount that I spend in a calendar month is less than the amount I earned in that calendar month, then I'm good.
Yeah.
I put 100%.
And by spend, you mean spend on checking, credit card, anything like that, right?
Exactly. All accounts. Everything. Yep. Yeah. So total spend less than, and then what happens is maybe there's some left over, whatever. I mean, I do the month-to-month budget, so when the payment happens for me is not as important, because even though I'm not paying for it now, right, it's going on the card and it floats, you know, the way Mint works is it looks like it's a spend.
Yeah.
Right? Because it is. So the fact that the money is sitting in your checking account is irrelevant. And I guess, like, maybe the key, like, philosophical thing is you can't look at your account balance in your checking or savings account and think, I have $3,000, I'm fucking rich, I'm going to go spend stuff. Yeah. You have to keep your eye on the month to month so that you don't let that situation get out of hand.
Yeah, and that kind of goes back to our little budgeting concept where, you know, you suggest that people should have 2.5 to 3 amounts of the, you know, single month's expenses in that checking account. Mm. So you can't just be like, I've got this much in my checking account, that's how much I can spend. No, it should be about a third of what you can spend.
Exactly.
And that includes whatever your credit card balance is. So, you know, if you want to keep it really simple, all I do, I have a thing on my calendar. I don't know what day it is, but there's a specific day every month that it says pay credit card bill. And it is several days before the due date. I log in, I pay whatever the balance is.
I'm so glad you brought that up, dude.
The whole thing. So it's on my calendar. I get a text message about it. Like, it pops on my phone, and I have a habit every single morning in my morning routine to look at my calendar. So there is not a single morning where I do not get up and look at my calendar, which I think is
okay.
I've fucked myself over in the past by not doing that. So I look at my calendar every day, and if it says pay my card, I just log in, and whatever the statement balance is, I pay it. So I don't even take advantage of that monthly rolling grace period. If I spent the money, I pay it off, you know, whenever that day is, even if I spent it like yesterday.
Okay, dude. So two, I think, brilliant things that you brought up. One I do, one I don't do. The calendar thing, I have that as well. Even for my auto pay ones. And what happens is, like, so for example, my Amazon card is auto pay, but I have it in my calendar for the 16th of the month. Yeah. I get an alert and whatever, like, credit card payment due. And I think that's like the key is, like, you can't rely on yourself to remember, because you have so many more important and better things to remember and focus on than, like, paying a damn credit card bill. So the calendar reminder is huge. And then I just log in. And I do auto pay. So I literally log in. And I'm like, okay, it happened. Good.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just kind of a process because, I don't know, technology fails, whatever. It's just a good thing to do. And the other thing that I really liked was that you actually pay your balance immediately instead of, like, waiting for whatever. Like the month grace period.
Yeah, because it's really a philosophical thing. I don't think of it as credit. I think of it as a checking account with cashback perks. That's it, you know. So, because I don't want to pay interest ever, you know. And I never want to have a situation where I accidentally didn't pay on the due date, so I just log in and make sure I pay it. And I do the same thing you do, or like, for anything I automate, I at least check it, or I log in and make sure the transaction happens somehow, or set up an alert that says, hey, you just paid X dollars, which is cool. So on my credit card, I have an alert set up. So anytime there is ever a transaction over $35 on my credit card, I get an email about it. And since most of my fixed expenses are through that, I will get a notification in my email saying, hey, your electricity was paid. Good job. Hey, your internet was paid. Good job. That kind of thing.
That's awesome that you have a habit set up. One thing to kind of like move on to like the next piece. A listener had reached out and they're like, they have 10K in debt or something like that. And they want to do like a transfer to another card, right? Like, okay. Because of like a 0% APR transfer. And if you are of any level of credit worthiness, it is highly likely you get at least one a month, like some APR transfer offer, right? You need to like open that, right? And you need to like rip it into a million tiny pieces and rip the envelope into a million pieces and like flush it down the toilet. Or just that thing is like the worst.
Don't flush
thing.
It down the toilet.
Why? There's someone on the other end who like pieces it together. Like,
no, because it's the same thing. I think it's not meant to be flushed. You're gonna clog up your pipes, and then you're gonna have to get a credit card to fix your pipes.
That's true. It's not eco friendly, but you need to like I don't know burn it. That's eco friendly, right?
You want to learn a little trick that I learned when I was an RA. So when I was an RA, we had to work in the mailroom. And if you know, like people in dorms move a lot, so like sometimes the we'll get letters that are obviously addressed to the wrong thing because the person has moved. So we had a rule: look at the stamp or where the stamp area is, and if it says pre-sorted first class, then you have to figure out where the person has moved to, and you move the mail to their new inbox. Right. But if it says pre-sorted standard, you can tear it up and throw it away.
Huh.
So we tore up and threw away so much people's mail. Due to that rule, and now I just apply that to my life. If I get mail and it's pre-sorted standard and I think it's junk, I just tear it up. I don't even look at it, which is all credit card offers, all APR transfer balance, anything like that. I don't worry about it. Because if you know, if we were allowed to tear up and throw away people's mail for being pre-sorted standard, then I don't feel like I need to look at it.
Ah, that's interesting because pre-sorted. I mean, because the mail is a federal thing, and obviously tampering with the mail is a federal offense. But if you guys were able to do it based on that rule. I mean, the whole thing is, so, like, this guy, he has 10K, he's like, I can move it over to 0% APR. First of all, the 0% APR balance transfer, while the papers make it look wonderful, right, it's not free. There is a full balance fee to do the transfer. Maybe it's like 4% or 5% or whatever.
Oh, okay.
So if you're moving, you know, $10,000, you're going to immediately pay a fee just for the ability to move it to a 0% APR card.
Yeah.
Then you're going to get caught in that 0% APR trap where if you miss a payment, then you get hit with the entire balance APR at some ridiculous rate. And, like, that totally screws your thing up. And, The whole thing is at the end of the day, there's all these pitfalls. If you don't pay down that 10K in, say, the year, you bring it to 6K, then you have 6K that's on like a 15%+ interest account, which is ridiculous. That's like, I couldn't imagine anything being higher or worse.
Yeah.
I think that the safest bet is to do something like Lending Club or just refinance it. To a non-credit card level interest rate.
So, like, what do you mean? Like, oh, you can do, like, debt refinancing for credit card stuff, too?
So, back a few months ago, I think it was, like, September of 2014, you know, we were doing LMM. It was, like, every day. And I was balls to the wall. I had, like, no time. And I let a few things get away from me. And one of them is I think I racked up about like 15 or so K in credit card debt just in like being like an asshole, right? And so it was kind of good because then I was able to document the process and whatever of how I got rid of it. But one of the things I did like first was I took a loan out from Lending Club for the amount that my debt was. And then as soon as that went through, I took the money Lending Club gave me, paid off the debt in full, and they'll let the balance sit on Lending Club, and I cut my interest rate into more than a third. I mean, it was
nice.
Yeah, it was less than a third of what it originally was, and that just makes it easier to pay off. And
yeah, definitely. I mean, it's the same thing as like reform or refinancing like your mortgage or whatever to a lower interest rate.
Yeah, just makes it like cheaper and
cool. So what I want to do is round out this episode with kind of like a breakdown of your credit score and like what you should, how you should conduct yourself if you have a credit card or if you want to get one in order to keep that score high.
Cool.
So there are several factors that go into your credit score. And honestly, I think the best tool for tracking this is called Credit Karma. You can find it at creditkarma.com. I believe it's in our toolbox, right, Andrew?
It is.
Yeah. It's the only one I know of that is free, actually free to get your score.
And it's like ultra detailed. Like it'll tell you down to the littlest things on why your credit score is the way that it is, how you can improve it, so on.
And I think it used to just give you like a straight up number. I see now that it's like it gives me my TransUnion and my Equifax, just they're displayed right there, which is cool. So, so there's a lot of factors that go into your credit score. And the cool thing is Credit Karma actually breaks down like why, you know, each one goes into it, how much of an impact each one has, and where you're standing. So you have credit card utilization. This is probably one of, if not the most important things. There might be one other. So credit card utilization is basically what is your limit? So if you get a credit card, they're going to tell you what your limit is, like $5,000, $500 if you're an 18-year-old kid like I was, whatever it is. That $5,000, though, you should take that and divide it by 10 and think of that as
the
amount.
Dude, you're like taking like the ideas out of my head. Like you're like you're just, I mean, keep going, because that's the whole thing is like when you divide it by 10, so you're only going to use 10%. Like,
exactly.
Because they give you $5,000 limit, like does not mean that you should spend $5,000. The max you should spend to be a proper credit worthy citizen is 1/10 of that.
Yep.
And maybe so, to pull it out further, if you have 10 cards, right? I think the thing is that 10%. Should be on the total credit limits that you have.
Yeah, it's your total entire credit limit. So your credit card utilization is added up between all of your open accounts and then compared to your limit, your total limit of all your open cards. So, and if you're like the 11 to 30% area is considered good. So, I mean, I don't think like
if it goes that high, it's not terrible.
Yeah, like my credit score is a 766. I'm pretty sure I'm going to be approved for whatever loan I want. If I want a loan, I don't. But I typically use more than 10% myself. If you're getting into it and you're brand new, then go for 10, you know? So that's high impact. Another big high impact thing.
Wait, before you move on, I just want to say that an incredible amount of math and like analyzation goes, I mean, the credit card companies, they apply to you and your status and whatever. So the limits that you are getting are not some arbitrary thing because some dude was sitting behind a button. He's like, yeah, I like the color of that guy's hair. And he just like clicks like approve.
Yeah.
So like you could set it as like a life rule. Like if you have, I mean, so for example, I have like $60,000+ total credit card limit, which means 10% of that is about $6,000 for me, which is like a sweet spot in terms of like my monthly spending based on my income. So in general, you can use these numbers to find your sweet spot.
Yeah. Yep. I think my limit is 5,800 over all my accounts. So $508 a month is what I would want to stay at. I typically go to like 700-800 sometimes. You know, I'm not perfect, but I think it's a good rule of thumb. So 0 to 9% is considered excellent. 10 to 29 is considered good. After that, you're getting into fair poor territory where you do not want to be. So that's the one that's going to take like daily, you know, consideration of your finances, know where you are. If you do use your credit card for like day to day purchases out and about, then you need to be more careful about it. If you're the kind of person that just wants to automate some expenses that you know are fixed, then this is easy to set up. So the second one is payment history. And this is also very high impact. Obviously, you know, they want to know, are you going to pay your debts? That's their main question. So 100% on-time payments is excellent. If you miss even one, then you go down to good, which is 99%. 98% gets you down to fair. And then if you get below 97, you're in the poor territory. So literally, if you pay 97% on time and only 3% off time, you're in the poor category. And that's going to hugely affect your credit.
So this is a huge impact thing, but there is a hack to beat this. So if say you put all your expenses on one credit card, right? And say you missed one payment, right? So you had one total payment in your life and you missed it. And now, like, you're basically like, I'm screwed for the rest of my life. Because if you have one credit card and you put everything on one credit card, over the course of a year, the most on-time payments you can have is 12, one for every month.
Oh, yeah.
But if you have two credit cards and say you just put Netflix on one and all the rest of your expenses on the other, you could have a potential of 24 on-time payments over a year. And obviously with three and, you know, 36 and so on. And so the hack is that obviously you never want to miss one because they penalize the shit out of you. However, if you have multiple cards and you could put a little bit on each and just pay it, that will count as an on-time payment. So you can catch back up and get yourself to 98% quickly if you use multiple cards. Obviously not multiple cards in like a huge sense, but like buy one coffee on 10 cards every month.
So I do want to say, like, if you miss a payment, don't go out and try to apply for like 10 cards to do this hack, because it's going to result in hard credit pulls, which also can affect your credit score.
But you could slowly, over the course of a few months, you increase your account number.
Yep. And I think we should do an episode, maybe you guys already have, on like negotiation if you get denied for a credit card and stuff like that. So that could be a good thing. So payment history, keep it at 100%. That's why you need to use a calendar. Like, just get in that habit, use a calendar. All right, and then the third high impact one is derogatory marks. Most of you will not fall into this. If you have, you know, it's a big factor, but that's like things like, do you have an account that's in debt collection? Have you been bankrupt before? Have you had like a civil judgment against you? That
kind
of thing.
Did they repossess your car? Like,
yeah, like big things like that. Zero is excellent. You know, once you get past zero, you know, one, it's fair. Two to three is poor. Four plus is very poor. They're going to start seeing you as a big credit risk.
And one of the cool, not cool things, but if you do have a derogatory mark, you know, it's not the end of the world, because part of the factor and like the way they weighed it is the distance in time between when that derogatory mark happened and like now. So if you had a derogatory mark last month, no one's going to give you any credit, because they're like, well, you're an asshole and you just bombed your shit last month. But if it's like a year, 2 years, 3 years, like, they may not even consider it anymore.
Okay, yeah. So, and then at least Credit Karma lists three others. Age of your credit history. Now, there's an interesting part of this with this one. So it's the average age of all your open accounts. Meaning, one, that if you have your first credit card, you don't want to close it, because that is the thing that is keeping your age, you know, it's the thing that's keeping the age up there, not just like
the average age of your level accounts. Yeah, it's like the first credit card you have is,
But it also means that if you go open a bunch of new credit cards right now, it's going to severely cut the age of your accounts.
Which is interesting, because there's two contrasting like metrics. There's the average age of accounts. So obviously if you've had credit for a while, you're more trustworthy. Yep. And the other way they see it is the amount of people that are willing to lend to you is an indication of how trustworthy you are.
Yeah, you're like, and total accounts.
So,
right?
So they're total accounts. Their sweet spot is if you have 21 or more accounts, that means you're like ultra creditworthy. So like a lot of people are willing to lend to you. I don't even have 21 cards, and I have a Macy's card, a JCPenney, a Bob's Burgers, or, you know, all these bullshit accounts. So you have to kind of weigh opening accounts, which are beneficial, with the fact that opening account, that means its average age, or that age for that account is like one day, brings down your total average.
Yeah.
If that makes any sense.
Yep. And then our, so that was, your total accounts. And then the last one is just the hard pulls, credit inquiries on your account. You know, zero is excellent within the last 2 years specifically. One is good, and then getting past that, you're starting to get into bad territory. The thing to note here, credit inquiries and total accounts are a low impact underscore. The age is a medium impact. The payment history, utilization, derogatory marks, those are the high ones. So I'm sitting at a 766. I'm actually poor on total accounts because I only have three open. I'm fair on age of credit history. It's only four. It's like 4 years, 3 months. So I'm, you know, you don't need to worry too much about all this stuff. You don't need to be like Xbox achievement hunter on your credit score here, trying to get everything perfect. Just use 10% of your credit, pay it on time, and don't go into bankruptcy. That's like the 80-20 of this, you know, like that's what's going to make the most impact on your score and keep you out of debt. Because if you're paying on time and you're only using 10%, it's very unlikely you're ever going to go into a huge debt with your credit card. You know?
I hear you. And I just got to say, so I got three brews from my buddy. And, I was drinking this one. And over the course of this episode, like the taste of, like, coffee and, like, nuts and stuff, it's just, it's unreal. I've not had a beer like this yet.
It's pretty good.
Oh, it's damn good. I'm gonna have to beg and plead it's that he like, sends me more.
You're talking about credit cards, Tom. I don't know.
Oh my god, this beer is so good. I'm just pouring it over my head, rubbing it on my nipples, and
Andrew's productivity tip: tweak your nipples while you work.
That's right. Just make sure candles are lit. There's dim lighting. It just.
Do it while you podcast.
Exactly.
Well, do you think we've sufficiently covered it?
I think we've sufficiently covered it. I think there'll definitely be questions. Send them in. Yeah,
definitely.
Just you know, to again, kind of like, a new design came out on the website. Took a long time. Took a lot of my time. Right. Now I'm not taking on a big project for at least a month, so I'm going to be catching up on emails. So email me questions.
Andrew has nothing to do. I mean, he's like literally sitting around playing Civ 5 all day. Send him emails.
I may do that today, but that's besides the point.
I want to. I hope I have time to tonight.
You're recording like 8 podcasts today or something.
Not 8, but my last interview is going to be done at like 8 p.m. So, wow. Yeah. And then I need to eat dinner and all that kind of stuff. And I've been going to bed at like midnight the past few days, which is bad because I get up at 5:50. So,
man, you work so hard.
I like
hard,
dragged
dude.
Myself out of bed this morning. I was like, I don't want to do the workout, but I have to.
Today was one of those days. I actually got up at a reasonable time. And then I was kind of out, you know, like working on stuff. And actually went and got like back into bed. I like laid down. I digressed from.
Oh man, dude, I really actually like the fact that my bed is in my girlfriend's apartment.
Because so you I can't get up, just kind of.
Yeah, I get up, I leave, I lock their door, I come to my apartment, do all my stuff. Like going back to bed would be the most inconvenient thing. There have been a couple times where I just like lay on my floor. But that's not very comfortable.
So if I wanted to follow your methods, you're saying I should just rent some like cheap ass apartment like downtown somewhere. Yeah. I say commute 30 minutes to my bed.
Yep. Oh man. So yeah, well, we're moving to a house in a few months, so we're gonna see how that works.
Nice.
I don't know if my room is going to be next to my office or not. Hopefully not. Mm. We will find out.
Mine's like 20 steps away. It's dangerous.
Uh oh. Anyway, so in recap, use Credit Karma and use a calendar. And don't let me down. if you got questions about this or any other money topic, listenmoneymatters at gmail.com is our email address, and we'll get those questions answered for you. If you want to get involved with the show, listenmoneymatters.com/get involved is where you can go. That'll show you how to subscribe to the show, how to leave a review, and how to potentially get even more involved if that's something you want to do. And I'm going to read a review real quick titled Boom by Gojo0401. He says, Andrew and Thomas do a great job with this podcast. It's finally nice to hear guys that are my age who think and act like I do instead of all the older gents out there who probably know what they're doing, but just tell you like how it is. Most importantly to me, they provide me insight into new apps, programs, investment tools, etc. that I haven't heard of before and greatly assist me in getting my finances right. And also, it's entertaining. Well, thank you, Gojo0401. And if anyone else wants to leave a review for the show, we definitely appreciate it. Also, you can get our favorite money management resources, books we recommend, and all sorts of other cool stuff at listenmoneymatters.com/toolbox.
Credit Karma's there.
It is there. I'm like trying to do this entire outro in one breath. It's not working. Thanks for listening and hanging out with us. We will see you in the next episode. Later, Andrew.
Later, Thomas.
Please tell your friends about this show.